What do Unitarian Universalists believe? You've heard that question before, right? Someone asks you. That's that question any of us who somehow might have risked sharing that we are people who attend church. Sometimes that's the hardest part, right? You somehow, well, I have to be somewhere on Sunday morning. Where do you have to be? Are you going grocery shopping? Well, yeah, but before that, I'm going to church. Or something. It sounds something like that. I'm going to the place where all my peeps meet. Oh, really? Where's that? Well, it's church. Something. I don't know how you do it. Something like that. I bet you it's like that. And then they say, what do Unitarian Universalists... What do Unitarian Universalists believe? And then you say something back to them, right? Kind of, usually you kind of put your head up a little and, well, we... And then you, I don't know what happens after that. You say something that just feels like, you know, you had a better answer when you were in your shower. We make all sorts of both simple and difficult attempts at a satisfactory answer, knowing well that what you say and what you say are going to be completely different things. It's really a drag if that person is standing there with both of you and you just say completely opposite things. But quite simply, it's not your answer that's the problem, not at all. But it's the question itself. It's that question. The next time you are faced with trying to answer someone who sincerely, sometimes people are just messing with you, right? But if they sincerely want to know, then and they ask you, well, what do Unitarian Universalists believe? You could answer them this way. You could say, ours is a covenantal church. We join by promising one another that we will be a beloved community, meeting together often, like right now, to find the ways of love as best we can see to do. We have found there's always more to learn about how love really works and could work in our lives and in the world. Or something about like that, right? It's about covenant and love. So if they say, what is it that Unitarian Universalists believe? You can say, we're covenantal. It's about covenant. It's about what we agree together. It's about that and love. Maybe you could say something like, we don't always agree on everything if you're standing there with your friend, because we don't all think or believe alike. And sometimes we even make mistakes, like the shoe store thing. And we bump into each other, and we agree to try again. But the point is that we have come together in covenant. And this covenant, it's not a new thing that we just made up, or that we just made up last year or in the 90s or something. It's in our heritage. It's deep in our roots. And even those long ago forebears sought to discover where it was that we have been led this way. I mention often from this pulpit the scholarship of the wise and dedicated Unitarian Universalist Alice Blair Wesley, who unpacks historical truths and loves to talk and explain to us what really it means to be in covenant. And I'm going to quote her here. We Unitarian Universalists are a liberal people over on the left, I guess for you that's over here, on the left of the free church tradition. The root idea of our entire tradition is the covenant. A covenanted free church is a body of individuals who have freely made a profoundly simple promise, a covenant. We pledge faithfully to walk together in the spirit of mutual love. The spirit of love is alone worthy of our religious loyalty, our ultimate loyalty. So we will meet often to take counsel concerning the ways of love, and we shall yield religious authority solely to our own understanding of what these ways are, as best we can figure them out or learn or remember them together. So when we say we are a free church, like, what does that mean? It means that we are voluntary, that we're not based on the inhabitants of a geographic location, or we're not being dictated to by a state government or their provisions, or not also being told what to do by a system of bishops or some kind of outside governance. As Alice says, the genuine matter, the matter of the free church, is the actual live bodies, the gathered people of the members themselves. And the form of the free church is the actual covenantal promise, the promise that we make to one another, both implicitly and explicitly spoken, to dwell together in peace, to seek the truth in love, to help one another. This is the life-giving organization for the whole world. This is what offers potential and promise. This is what sets our boundary for action. This is what we can return to when we feel like we've fallen out of sorts or out of balance. So when we recall our Puritan ancestors, and I'm talking about our religious forebears, not necessarily our genetic, but our religious forebearers who are the Puritans, or were the Puritans, they came here in pursuit of religious freedom, but not so over arguments of the nature of God or humankind, but rather because they disagreed with the theology of organization. That is how churches ought to be organized, the fact that they believe that they should be organized in the spirit of mutual love, and also who ought to have authority and why. They wanted to be part of churches that were rooted in that spirit. Then, over 200 years later, so first we're talking about the 1600s, and then we move to the 1800s, the Unitarians, so I'm talking about them specifically, long before they were linked with the Universalists, they separated from more conservative churches because they had differences then over the nature of God and humankind. It was in those early days that those separated churches then established the name Unitarian. And in a parallel part of our conjoined history, the Universalists established themselves as theologically distinct from the Calvinists. But we have kept the same covenantal congregational polity because theologically, covenantal polity, the fact that we make agreements together, is rooted in the spirit of mutual love. So, as I said, this idea of covenant is old stuff, occurring in families, people covenanted to walk together or to live together or to meet often in this spirit of mutual love, first with the biblical family of Sarah and Abraham, and then with Moses as the nation of ancient Israel, and since the time of Jesus and his disciples as local congregations. And then after a few hundred years, this is the part you might remember, that covenantal way of faith became lost in the larger culture of theocracy until our forebears found this spirited way of being once again. The great commandment to love thy neighbor as thyself is one of the most clear and relevant messages of ancient scripture. It's this message. So when they went back to look for the roots, those Puritans, and they said, okay, we need to find these roots, this is where they found them, based in ancient scripture. Love thy neighbor as thyself. It's this message that urges us into being the best relational beings that we can be. So now we say, could we reclaim even more and apply these same patterns of governance in our ways of associating with other free liberal congregations? So not just here in Star King Church, but in other churches nearby. How might we engage in that same covenant making and actions with nearby congregations, like, say, in the Bay Area? Say in Livermore, Fremont. Is it possible to strengthen ourselves and increase our spirit of neighborly love? What if we pooled our resources for good, for health, for growth of liberal religion and the building of a strong voice? My colleague, Melissa Carville Zimmer, admits that as difficult as it might be sometimes to love our neighbor, it's sometimes even harder to love ourselves. She tries in every way. This is what she says. Love yourself with all of your sharp edges and constant imperfections. Love yourself when you feel disappointed or frustrated by your own heart and mind. Love yourself when you feel inadequate. Love yourself when you have been wounded by another and left with anger, fear, and sadness. Love yourself when you are the one who has caused the hurt, when the needles of guilt and shame prick your conscience. Love yourself. Rebecca Parker, president of our local seminary, the UU Seminary that exists at Starr King School for the Ministry in Berkeley, reminds us of these historic and God-given qualities when she speaks to the spiritual and religious meaning-making as we really go deeper. She says, covenant-making begins with the question, what have we been given? What is the covenant that we're already in? And so when we ask that, when we make and remake covenants with each other, that's what we consider. Who are we together? And how are we? And how do we want to be? So today, as I return from my summer break, and Roy King, our intern minister, returns, and Darcy Baxter returns, our family minister from her summer break, Darcy and Roy would like to reflect just a minute with you too as we ask these questions. How are we together? First, Roy.
One of my earliest childhood memories is going to preschool at the Church of the Covenant. I remember that stately, grand, Gothic building in downtown Erie, Pennsylvania, where I grew up. We did a lot of activities. We played around. But most memorable was when the teacher took a bucket of candy and kind of placed it in the middle of the room and tossed all the candy there. And everyone would massively heap and in a mixture of energy and excitement. But I guess being a little shy, I would stand on the periphery and just wait for the candy to pop back out. I would get my own collection. So I did quite well there. I also remember from the church the phrase Church of the Covenant that was kind of a delightful series of sounds to my young childhood mind, and I had no idea what covenant meant. I thought it was like probably the biggest word I had ever heard, and it's just stuck in my memory. Much later in seminary, I learned that covenant was an English translation of the biblical berit, meaning bond or chain. That covenants in the Hebrew Bible, like God's promise to all of creation never destroy the world again, you know, after Noah's flood, that's signified by the rainbow. I learned that basically covenant in the Hebrew Bible was modeled on the king-vassal relationship. You'd have like an Assyrian king conquering a people and making promises never to harm them again as long as they were faithful or obedient to him. For the Israelites here, God was like a king, like a divine and powerful presence who promised never to harm humanity and later in other covenants never to harm his people. Now, it's always kind of a one-way relationship between the powerful and the powerless. It wasn't until I became a Unitarian Universalist that I realized that a covenant could be mutual. Promises made between equals, a sharing of love and grace. So maybe my childhood candy story did make sense of the Church of the Covenant. Like mutual grace, there's enough candy to go around, whether you jump in the middle of the fray or stand, kind of observe it on the outside. Like the Hebrew berit, our covenants do bind, but promise free and diverse ways of receiving and offering the gifts of love.
We Unitarian Universalists have a reputation for kind of being a heady bunch. And despite this kind of headiness, I actually think this idea of covenant, this basis of our liberal religion, is actually a lot about our bodies. We gather together not to believe the same abstract ideas. We gather together with promises of how we will act. We gather together committing to each other to use our bodies in particular ways. Straight bodies, gay bodies, tall, short bodies, young ones, old ones, strong ones, and frail ones. Now, I work with groups of people, adults and children alike, and when you gather in a group, you always come up with a group of rules, right? A group of rules that you will abide by. And I find that, you know, you can be kind of abstract, say things like be nice, but it's actually really important to be very concrete when you come up with these group rules, this covenant. For example, really good concrete one. We promise not to hit one another. Isn't that in our church covenant? Is that in there? Yeah.
Implied,
right. We don't? So do we promise to not want to hit somebody?
No.
Do we promise not to think about hitting somebody?
No.
We promise not to enact, to not embody hitting. Another thing that's commonly promised, we often can say, you know, promise something like we'll try not to intentionally hurt another person's feelings, to talk about them in unfavorable ways. Again, do we promise to not want to talk about someone unfavorably? Come on, embody this for me. Yeah, there we go. Do we promise not to think about saying mean things about another person? No, we promise not to enact it, to embody gossip. We are allowed to think and feel all kinds of things. That is okay. What matters most is how we act. And you learn this when you work with children. Because what you do with your body is really important, because they mimic you. Come on, they don't do what we say, right? No. What do? What we do. Yep. For me, covenant is about promising to use our bodies in respectful and kind and meaningful ways. Our bodies are sacred. And there is kind of this magic relationship between what we do and what we think. And though, again, we Unitarian Universalists are really into rationality and reason and powers of the mind, I actually find that sometimes you first must act before your mind will change. Through action, one can change the mind, not the other way around. Act as if. Of course, we will make mistakes, and that's okay. Being in this beloved community, We are guaranteed to find people who will lovingly offer us feedback about our actions. They will help us keep us accountable to what we expressed as our deepest held values. And in this beloved community based on bodies and the promises we make, we know we can always return again. After breaking our vows 1,000 times, we can return as our fully messy, imperfect selves and recommit ourselves to the promises our bodies can make.
So we're going to all stand here now, and we have created a covenant to speak today as clergy serving the congregation. What is it that we promise to the covenanted community? We agree that we will rely on our UU Ministers Association guidelines.
We will do our best to act out of kindness and compassion.
We are going to do our best to serve the ultimate source of authority, what some call God.
And why is it that we agree these things and do these things? First of all, because it honors our calling.
Secondly, because it moves us into right relationship with the universe.
And finally, because in doing so, we deepen meaning, build trust, and find greater truths.
With these intentions in heart and mind, we covenant with you. Thank you. And as I conclude all of our remarks today, I just want to share with you how my colleague, Tom Shade, lays out what I love, the larger hopes of those like me who have dedicated their lives to this ambition. These are his words. He says, the UU ministers I know are itching to empower and equip church members to go out and live our values in the world. UU ministers want to inspire deeper spiritual growth and greater public witness and more profound service. UU ministers are ready to be inspirational voices in the public square for reverence and solidarity and openness and justice. As our ministers grow stronger, he says, we all grow stronger. Our congregations grow stronger, and we have more vitality to live lives with greater meaning and purpose. I have said before, so often when people are asked what it is that they are looking for when they come to first find us, they respond with this one word that says community. Often people I see and hear are overcome with emotion when they discover our church or one of our other Unitarian Universalist congregations. They feel moved to have found a place where their whole self is welcome, their whole self, their head, their heart, and everything about their person, including their marital status, their sexual orientation, their religious convictions, or lack thereof. I believe that people want to discover ways to be more loving in their lives and to serve with devoted, faithful love and the integrity of conscience. Alice Blair Wesley calls these very things authentically religious moments, as much a function of human nature as is our need to breathe and to eat and to drink and to sleep. This is why we so often have our emotions stirred when we first find that thing that we were looking for but didn't know existed. But even if we've been around for a while, maybe been felt damaged by inflicted wounds, we can get back that spirit of the authentically religious moment, because covenants exist even in brokenness. Yes, even, especially in the places where we are not whole. It exists because of our humanness, our sharp edges, and constant imperfections. The end result, as Rilke said, as Rumi said, though you've broken your vows 1,000, 10,000, hundreds of thousand times, I am reminded by the poet, how small is what we wrestle with, and what wrestles with us, how immense. Come, come, join together in the Spirit. Walk together, live together, be together in the spirit of mutual love. I believe you will find deep and abiding truth and a big, big love. May it be so. Amen. And blessed be.